Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, January 23rd. Lawmakers have introduced the first wave of bills of the legislative session. So far, more than 200. As part of our Capitol Conversation series, Benta Berkland talked to State House reporters about some of the more interesting pieces of legislation and what stood out to them.
Joining me, we have Joey Bunch, a reporter with ColoradoPolitics.com, and Kristen Wyatt with the Associated Press. Kristen, a lot of bills so far and still a lot more to come throughout the session. Have you seen a lot of surprises, or are there things you anticipated?
There's one big theme in our state and every state, which is a big question mark over our new president, about how states are going to have to respond. So one of the first priorities for our Senate Republicans here is to repeal the health care exchange. This is how people shop for insurance under Obamacare. Republicans want to undo it. They're going to run into a big brick wall on the other side. Nobody knows what the state is going to have to do to respond to any changes coming from Washington. So I think nobody's surprised that we all have to just sit and wait to find out what we do.
One of the issues that this comb-over tsunami could bring, though, is hundreds of billions of dollars for transportation money. But we're going to have to wait on that. And I think one of the things that legislators in this building agree on is this is a session that they have to find solutions on how to fund transportation. How we get there, though, is still a big question mark.
Do you expect it'll be quite a bit later into the session when we actually see some substantive proposals from each side?
Well, it depends. You know, if they're going to take a lot of money out of the state budget, then we're going to have to hear those things in March. If they're going to refer a ballot measure to the voters in November, which I think we will, I think we'll see a combination of those two things. That may fall on the last day of the session. It just depends on how much of the legislators want to fight about transportation.
And Kristen, what other bills have stood out to you?
There is a really interesting bill about marijuana that would allow marijuana pot clubs statewide, and it would say that they could be exempt from the Clean Indoor Air Act if they had proper ventilation. It has Republican and Democratic sponsors. Everybody seems to think it doesn't stand a chance this year, but that talk about public use is going to not go away. Just like the budget, just like health care, just like transportation, this all depends on how our new president approaches all this. We have not seen yet, though, these attempts to crack down on what the governor calls the gray market, cracking down on marijuana caregivers. We haven't seen those bills yet, so I don't know how it's going to look.
And how do the pot clubs work?
They would look sort of like cigar bars, where you could, you know, you have to be over 21, and basically they have to have this really expensive ventilation, but you could have a social use club. Maybe they could serve food, maybe they just serve pot, but it would be kind of what we think of as an Amsterdam-style coffee shop.
Keeping with that theme of vice, you know, we've seen a couple of bills on liquor again this session. Representative Steve Lebsack has a bill that would allow local government, you know, cities, counties, to set the hour closing time at their bars. Now, that came up a couple of years ago, and Cassandra Duran, who's now the House Speaker, she carried that bill, but it got so larded up with amendments that it didn't pass. And we have another bill that would allow restaurants and hotels to sell bottles of wine, which I'm surprised that they can't already. And I'm also surprised that we spend so much time still talking about liquor laws. That was the dominant issue of the last session, and it looks like we'll be talking about it again this session.
And then there's a lot of bills that we've had these themes before and they may not pass. One of them, guns in schools and allowing teachers or other personnel to be trained and carry a firearm. It's going to come through the Republican-controlled Senate.
Sure, Republicans say this is a new thing, that it would not really allow more guns in schools. What it really aims to do is to better train security guards and people that can have guns now on campus. But of course, there is a caveat in there that also your staff, teachers, crossing guards, even cafeteria ladies, could be some of these people that get the additional training. And Republicans have a fair point. They say, look, Democrats who oppose guns in schools always say that there's not proper training, that kindergarten teacher doesn't have the training that she needs if a terrorist busts in the door and starts shooting children. So here's the training. I'm very suspicious that Democrats are going to go for this. They will just see it as a guns in school bill.
Thanks. That was Kristen Wyatt with the Associated Press and Joey Bunch with ColoradoPolitics.com. I'm Benta Berkland, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
New regulations on how much natural gas can be vented, flared, or leaked will go into effect, at least for now. Eric Galatis has this report.
New BLM rules limiting natural gas waste on federal and tribal lands will go into effect after a federal judge in Wyoming blocked efforts by industry groups to stop the measure on Monday. Gwen Lackelt, a La Plata County Commissioner, calls the decision a temporary reprieve and says the rules could still be stripped through the Congressional Review Act.
It would be unconscionable for Congress to intervene. We have worked for years to get this rule to protect air quality and also to protect the American taxpayer.
Three states and industry groups have filed suit to reverse the rules, claiming the BLM has overstepped its authority to regulate air quality. In denying the injunction request, the U.S. District Court for Wyoming affirmed the BLM's authority to prevent waste of publicly owned resources. The Western Energy Alliance says it's confident that after considering the full merits of the case, the court will side with industry. Lackelt says on federal and tribal lands alone, the U.S. loses more than $330 million worth of natural gas each year. She says states and counties can't collect royalties on it if the gas isn't captured and brought to market.
We use revenues from oil and gas development to fund everything from emergency services, our public schools, to roads and bridges, the critical infrastructure that every community relies upon.
But industry groups argue that the costs of capturing methane outweigh the benefits. Lackelt disagrees.
Many of these fixes are as simple as tightening a valve or replacing a valve. The vast majority of inspections have shown that the costs involved are very minimal.
At his confirmation hearing Tuesday, Ryan Zinke, President-elect Donald Trump's pick to be the BLM's new boss, said he's troubled by the amount of natural gas wasted on federal lands, but has been critical of the agency's moves to address the problem. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And finally today, KDVR.com reported that 8 small earthquakes were detected outside of Marble last week. All 8 earthquakes happened between 8 p.m. Thursday and 6 a.m. Friday morning. The earthquakes occurred roughly 5 miles west of Marble and 20 miles west-southwest of Snowmass Village. The 2 strongest earthquakes registered 2.8, which is considered small and just perceptible by people. The weakest of the earthquakes was magnitude 1.1. And that was your regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.